Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Look with me, if you will, if you've got your copy of your Bible, or if it's on your phone, or however you've got it. Follow along with me a few verses here. Philippians chapter 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing to this church at Philippi. He is like their spiritual daddy. He has invested in them. He is their spiritual father. He started that church. He planted that church. And he invested in them. And so that's the way he looks at them. And you can see it in verse 1. Because of all the mushy stuff that he says about them in verse 1. Notice it. Therefore, my beloved, my brethren dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. All in the midst of all that commendation and all that expression of his love for them, he's saying, this is how I feel about you. I love you. I love you. And I love you, and I want you to make it. I want you to survive. And so he said, right in the middle of all that, telling them how much twice he says in one verse that they are dearly beloved. He says they're his crown. They're like his pride and joy. That's how he thinks about them. These Christians at Philippi. He loves them so much. And he says to them, in the middle of all of that, you know, if you love people, you can get by with saying what needs to be said. And so in the middle of all that, right, just kind of hidden away in all of that, oh, how much you're dearly beloved, I love you, you're my crown, you're my joy, you're my dearly beloved. And in the middle of it all, he says, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. And that's really what he wanted, the message he wanted to get across. They already knew he loved them. But he just kind of hid it away there in the middle of all of those words of kindness and love and commendation. And really he was saying to them, the word there just simply means, I want you to make it. I want you to persevere. I want you to stand fast. I want you to persevere. Because there's a lot of things that are the enemy of your spiritual survival. I want you to make it. I want you to thrive and grow and develop in the things of the Lord. I don't want you to give up. I want you to be strong. I want you to be unwavering. I want you to be consistent. I want you to be faithful. I want you to be dependable. Persevere. Hold fast. I want you to make it. I believe he got his message across. I really do. You know that I heard someone said one time, I don't remember who it was, but they were joking around, I know, but they said, I might want to be in the ministry if it wasn't for the people. And when he said that, I thought, You're crazy. Because that's all ministry is. That's all it is. We all are in ministry, every one of us, and it's all about people. It's all about lost people. It's all about people in need. It's all about encouraging one another, blessing one another, being brothers and sisters, and being able to help one another and love one another. Notice when you go back to Philippians chapter 1, to the same group, he says, only let your conversation, with that word there means your actions or your behavior, only let your behavior be as it becometh the gospel, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast. Same word, there it is again. I want you to persevere in the Spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He said, whether I'm there with you or whether I'm a long way off from you, I want to hear the reports that you are persevering. You are pressing on. You are not giving up. Someone said character and integrity is what we do when no one is watching. No one is watching. And Paul said, whether I'm with you or not, I want to hear the reports that you are persevering. You are pressing forward. You're not allowing anything to hinder you or to slow you down, but you're pressing on in the things of the Lord. And then in verse 2 and 3, he deals with kind of a, you wonder if his train of thought is, if he's staying on subject or not. But let's go through this and you'll see that he is, for sure. Because he says, I beseech Euodias and Syntyche, I hope I'm pronouncing their names, but both of these, every commentary that you read about these people that say that these were two women, these were two ladies. And he said, I beseech these two ladies that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Apparently, these two ladies were prominent in the church at Philippi, probably leaders, influential people in the church, and apparently they were having a problem. They had differences of opinion. They weren't on the same page, and they might have even been to the point of, you know, a real, you know, point of disagreement, that is becoming obvious that there's disunity here. And of course, he's told them that the theme of this was persevere. I want you to persevere. And he said, oh, and I beseech these two ladies that can't seem to get it together. They have a difference of opinion about some things, maybe bickering, maybe arguing, and it might be becoming obvious. And verse 3 is going on with it. He says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And he's just simply saying, you know, you see there's this problem, there's this division, there's this disunity, and you all work together to get this problem resolved and get this thing taken care of, because disunity can do so much damage to your life and to the work of the kingdom of God. Again, the word is persevere. Persevere. And he was telling these two women, and then he encourages others that are there and saying to them all, help these women, and whatever it takes, help them to get it together. Help them to resolve their differences and to work together, because they need to persevere and the church needs to move on. And we can't persevere if there is disunity in the body. Apparently these were prominent people, influential people in the church. And, you know, it doesn't take a lot to create differences and even disunity in the body. You know, years ago when I started out in ministry, I made up my mind. I'd had a couple of experiences. I had been in a couple of church situations where one was a business meeting that turned into people, their faces were getting red and they were mad and they were saying things publicly and they were, you know, calling people's names, not calling them names, but so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. And I remember I was a young person in a business meeting like that, and it was troubling to me. I didn't understand all that was going on, but it troubled me. What happened? And then later on, I was in a meeting. I wasn't actually a member of this church. I was just visiting, and on that day, the pastor resigned, and a bunch of people were mad, and it was a big tear up, and it was such an awful feeling to be in a service, a church where there's this disunity. And I just made up my mind, you know, Lord, if I'm headed into ministry, I don't want to see that ever happen. I don't want to be a part of that. I made up my mind that I would not be a part of it. Amen. I would not be a part of it. If carnality starts rising and getting out of hand, I'm going out the door. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm going to pray and dismiss. If things get to that point that carnality is manifesting and there is such disunity and such a destructive spirit that does not belong in the body of Christ. It doesn't belong in the body of Christ. When it happens, it's not pleasing to the Lord, and it certainly tears up our testimony and our influence. Amen. It's the truth. Ephesians 4 and 3, we must endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity strengthens us, but disunity weakens us, tears us down, damages the work of the kingdom of God. It's the work of the Spirit. Love, the Bible talks about love being that bond of peace, that bond of perfection. The bond of peace. It's like it's the glue that brings us all together. Amen. Because we're brothers and sisters. Isn't it interesting that in a family setting, you can bicker and argue and have differences of opinion, but at the end of the day, they're your family. You don't stop loving them. You keep loving them, even though you may have had a little problem with them. Family. And you just let somebody else out of the family try to get into it with your brother or sister and see what happens. It's not going to be a pleasant thing because family tends to stand with family no matter what. It's the truth. That's the way it ought to be in the family of God. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're bound together. And I think that Paul was saying that we need to get a hold of this and take care of this before it even becomes a problem, because we want to persevere and we want to grow and move forward in the things of God. And then he gives to them some ways to make sure that they're able to persevere. He gives them these steps. He starts off here in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. If you're going to persevere in the faith, and you have to learn how to be a person who gives praise to God, who has the joy of the Lord in spite of the things that are going on around you. If you try hard enough, there are plenty of things. You may be going through a lot of dark, troubling problems. But if you'll just take a moment to think about it, to consider it, you have so many reasons to be praising God. You have so many good things that God has done for you and is doing for you. And I think if we're not careful, we allow ourselves to be drawn to the side into a place where we just, we kind of grovel in negativity and hopelessness. But the Lord is saying, the Apostle Paul tells the Philippian church, I want you to persevere. And if you want to be able to make it, press through every difficulty and every challenge, then learn how to praise God. Learn how to praise God. Paul knew all about that. Remember, it was Paul and Silas that were they were in jail, they were in prison. And at midnight, what did they do? They started singing praises unto God. And I love the verse that says that they sang praises at the midnight hour. They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, what the prisoners didn't hear anything most of the time, except moans and groans and complaining and cursing and hatred. That prison cell was full of nothing but venom and bitterness. And all of a sudden, at the midnight hour, they hear this sweet sound coming, echoing through that jail cell. It's Paul and Silas singing praises unto God at the midnight hour. Praise God. And as they did, as they praised God, God began to move. God began to work. An earthquake came, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and the doors were all opened. And the keeper of the prison is awakened out of his sleep and comes running and just about takes his own life. But Paul hollers for him and says, "Oh, no, don't do that, don't do that." That day, the jailer and all of his house met Jesus Christ. Amen. Tell you what, praise is powerful. The joy of the Lord is powerful. Rejoicing is a powerful thing, especially if you can do it in your midnight hour and when you're going through the worst of trying situations. You can just praise the Lord anyway. And Paul is telling him, if you're going to persevere, that's really the theme here of this chapter. He's telling them, I want you to make it. I want you to persevere. And if you're going to be able to do that, you're going to have to learn how to praise God through your trial and your problem. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he gives the double emphasis. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. Praise the Lord. Give glory to God in spite of your circumstance. If you're going to be able to persevere, he says, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The word there, moderation, it just means your patience, your graciousness, your gentleness, that you have a spirit that's patient and, you can put up with a lot. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. God's watching. God is aware. He's near you to help you through your trying situation. So be patient. So he said, here's the three keys to your perseverance. Praise God in your trial. And then learn how to have patience. Learn how to have patience in your circumstance, whatever that it might be. Focus on Jesus Christ. Focus on the hope that we have in the Lord. And to be gentle and gracious and patient. And just trust God through the trial. We want God to solve our problems yesterday. We want everything to work out in our timing, in the way we want Him to do it. But Paul says, no, let your moderation be known to all men. Let them see that you're just at peace and you have confidence in God. Let all men see it, that you're not frantic, you're not worried. You just have a patient spirit. Amen. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And in order to do that, you kind of have to give away. Just give away your rights to everything. Give away, you may feel like, I have a right to be mad. I have a right to be upset. I have a right. No, you don't. Just give up on all that. Just give it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Patience. Set your focus and your attention upon the Lord. The third P is prayer. Prayer. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Which just means don't worry. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't be a complainer. Don't be a worrier. Just take it to God. Take it all to the Lord. You may not understand it. It may be troubling to you. You may be worried about it. Someone has said, worry about nothing, pray about everything. Good advice. Good advice. Pray to worship the Lord and,
And with prayer and supplication, you know, the word supplication really, it really means something that you've done with great, in great earnest. With prayer and supplication, bring your requests to the Lord. Bring your needs to the Lord. Good advice to the church at Philippi. Good advice for you and me here tonight. You want to persevere? Well, I pray that you do. I pray you do. We live in some really, really dark times right now. And I have seen people walk away from God in recent years. Just walk away. Just give up on God. But I just pray that we'll follow the good counsel of the Apostle Paul here as he writes under the inspiration of the Spirit to his beloved church family at Philippi. And read it again there in verse 1 and notice how much that he loves them. Oh, I mean, it's like he's saying, you are it. You are wonderful. You are dearly beloved. You are my crown. You are my joy. You're my all in all. He loved them so much that he told them, I want you to make it. I want you to persevere. And here's how you can do it. Get rid of all the disunity. Solve all the problems of disunity. And then be a person that praises God in your trial. That prays and brings your needs to the Lord. Amen. Trust the Lord. It's patient. It waits on God and his timing to work and to move in our life. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation be known unto men. The Lord is at hand. He's right here. He's with you. And he'll help you through it, through your trying situation. Thank God for his word tonight. Let's stand. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are working and speaking to us. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word, Lord, that encourages us and challenges us. And Lord, I know, God, that you want to bring a wonderful spirit of unity where revival can come and supernatural things, Lord, can take place. Help us, Lord, to make up our mind that we are going to persevere. We are going to press through. We are not going to give up. We are going to hold on with all of our heart to you, Lord. We're going to praise you and we're going to be patient, Lord, to wait on your good timing. And we're going to take all of our needs and our burdens to you in prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you, everybody.